Washington, wishing that you will have.
This is VOA News. I'm Joe Ramsey. The United States accused UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres of apparently yielding to Russian threats and not sending officials to Ukraine to inspect drones used by Russia that Washington and others say were supplied by Iran.
We are disappointed that the Secretariat, apparently yielding to Russian threats, has not carried out the investigatory mandate this council has given it.
U.S. Deputy UN Ambassador Robert Wood, Russia has denied its forces used Iranian drones in Ukraine and argues there's no mandate for UN officials to travel to Kyiv to investigate the origin of the drones. Iran has acknowledged it supplied Moscow with drones, but said they were sent before Russia invaded its neighbor in February. The lawmakers investigating the January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol insurrection are urging the Justice Department to prosecute former President Donald Trump. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
As the panel ended one of the most aggressive congressional probes in memory, Chairman Benny Thompson said there must be accountability for the insurrection.
Accountability that can only be found in the criminal justice system.
And the panel voted unanimously to recommend 4 criminal charges against Trump and others who helped his wide-ranging bid to overturn his 2020 election loss. Still, a criminal referral is mostly symbolic. The Justice Department will ultimately decide whether to prosecute Trump or others. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A senior U.S. military official says Russia's war in Ukraine and anti-regime protest in Iran limited both adversaries' ability to influence or interfere in recent midterm elections. This is VOA News. U.S. President Joe Biden is expressing alarm about growing anti-Semitism in the United States and around the globe and vowing to fight back against the scourge.
Today we must all say clearly and forcefully, anti-Semitism and all forms of hate and violence in this country have no safe harbor in America. Period.
Speaking to guests gathered for a Hanukkah reception Monday at the White House, Biden said, quote, silence is complicity. 6 people, including a 73-year-old suspect, died and one person was wounded in a shooting at a residential building in the Canadian city of Vaughan, north of Toronto on Sunday. Reuters correspondent Emma Jaley reports.
Vaughan Police Chief Jim McSween said at a news conference on Monday that the shooter has been identified as Francesco Villi, a resident of the building.
We can say all victims reside in the condo building. 3 victims were members of the condominium board. But the motive for the shooting remains part of this very complicated and very fluid investigation.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted on Monday, to the families and friends of the victims of yesterday's shooting in Vaughan, I'm keeping you in my thoughts.
The U.S. Supreme Court is temporarily blocking an order that would lift pandemic-era restrictions on asylum seekers, AP correspondent Norman Hall reports.
The order by Chief Justice John Roberts comes as conservative states are pushing to keep limits on asylum seekers that were put in place during the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic. They are appealing to the court in a last-ditch effort before the limits are set to expire on Wednesday. The immigration restrictions, often referred to as Title 42, were put in place under then-President Donald Trump in March 2020 and have prevented hundreds of thousands of migrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. in recent years. Thousands more migrants are packed in shelters on Mexico's border with the U.S. Norman Hall, Washington.
Sam Bankman-Fried may be ready to come to the U.S. to face criminal charges related to the collapse of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX following a chaotic court appearance in the Bahamas. A lawyer for Bankman-Fried was quoted as saying Monday that the disgraced FTX founder has agreed to be extradited to the United States. A court hearing was stopped earlier than the day when his attorney said it was premature for him to stand before the court. Twitter users voted decisively in a poll for Elon Musk to step down as chief executive of the social media platform, a backlash against the billionaire less than 2 months after he took over in what's been a chaotic and controversial reign. Musk said on Sunday he'd abide by the results of the poll, but did not give details on when he would step down if results said he should. He had said there's no successor yet. I'm Joe Ramsey. VOA News.
Today is Tuesday, December 20th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. Coming up in the next half hour, leaders of Northern Europe pledge more support to Ukraine as Kyiv seeks more weapons systems.
The U.S. concern overridingly has been to prevent an escalation of this conflict from one that's between Russia and Ukraine to one that involves perhaps more of Europe and becomes a war between Russia and NATO.
Search and rescue continues for dozens of Marines after a Thailand warship sinks in choppy waters.
Warships and helicopters scoured the choppy waters of the Gulf of Thailand on Monday in an effort to locate 33 Marines missing after a warship sank overnight.
And U.S. House Committee urges the Justice Department to bring criminal charges against former President Donald Trump. We'll have these stories and more next on International Edition. Stay tuned. Leaders of 10 Northern European countries said they would keep up support to Ukraine against Russia's invasion on Monday at a meeting of the UK-led Joint Expeditionary Force in Riga, Latvia. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky asked leaders in a video address to supply a wide range of weapon systems to help end Europe's deadliest conflict since World War II sooner. While Western allies led by the United States have been supporting Ukraine with funding, military training and weapons, Kyiv said much was needed to tip the balance in its 10-month-old campaign against Russia in Ukraine's favor. Analysts say Kyiv's latest request includes offensive weapons, which NATO and Washington had been hesitant to supply. For more, I spoke with VOA's national security correspondent Jeff Selden.
Requests from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for these weapons, advanced weapons, air defense systems, tanks, fighter jets, NASAMS, other missile systems. These are requests that Ukraine has been making constantly and consistently throughout the last several months as Ukrainian forces try to fend off and take back territory from Russian forces that have invaded. Now, the U.S. has been working, and U.S. officials say they are constantly communicating with Ukraine, assessing their needs to decide what to share, what not to share. Now, the question is, where does it go from here? How much further? How much more is the U.S. and how much more are European allies willing to do for Ukraine? So far, through the beginning of December, the U.S. has given about $20 billion in security assistance to Ukraine. That's included additional ammo for HIMARS, the rocket systems, more artillery rounds for howitzers, counter-drone systems, some new air defense capabilities, as well as generators and field and medical equipment as the Ukrainian forces continue to battle with Russian forces throughout the winter. The other big question is, what more in terms of air defense systems and missile defense systems will be available? There have been some offers from European countries to give Ukraine more if they can get replacement systems from the U.S. It remains to be seen how those efforts or how those possibilities will evolve. And of course, there's the question about the request that the U.S. is considering right now for Ukraine to get some Patriot missile defense systems. And that's been a request that Washington's been looking at. And as of late, the U.S. still has not made a decision on what to do there.
The U.S. and NATO from the onset indicated they do not want to give Ukraine any kind of systems that would be termed offensive for fear of this conflict from spreading out. But others are contending that Russia is just pummeling and destroying Ukraine day by day and that Ukraine needs something to hit back.
The U.S. concern overridingly has been to prevent an escalation of this conflict from one that's between Russia and Ukraine to one that involves perhaps more of Europe and becomes a war between Russia and NATO. That's something that they want to avoid. They don't want to see the risk of the possibility, and Russia's rattled sabers about this in terms of the use of nuclear weapons of any sort, whether it's low-yield tactical nuclear missiles or otherwise. So the aid has been carefully considered and, according to U.S. officials, carefully calibrated. And there have been some limits on the aid that the U.S. has given Ukraine. For example, giving Ukraine only weapon systems that can defend Ukrainian territory but cannot really reach all that far with the rockets and the missiles into Russian territory to prevent any sort of escalation along those lines. When asked earlier this month whether the U.S. was preventing Ukraine from developing its own long-range weapon systems that could reach into Russia, the Secretary of Defense, in fact, said no, absolutely not. The U.S. is not preventing Ukraine from developing its own systems. Whether the U.S. will give them those systems, that remains to be seen.
That's VOA's national security correspondent Jeff Selden speaking with me from Washington, D.C. U.S. lawmakers this week face a tight deadline to pass a massive bill funding the federal government through next September. The size and scope of the U.S. military budget and a new round of aid for the conflict in Ukraine are among the high-profile items being negotiated. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
Critical issues coming to a head at the end of the year. The Biden White House weighs sending Patriot missile systems to Ukraine to combat Russian aggression. The Ukrainian ambassador to the United States tells ABC's This Week program that support is vital. Ukrainian ambassador Oksana Markarova.
There is a massive attack on civilian infrastructure. 50% of the energy is destroyed, of the energy grid. We have to stop it. And the only way to do it is with increased number of air defense everywhere in Ukraine.
U.S. lawmakers are also racing to finish a year-end package of legislation funding the government for the current fiscal year. But they have failed to work out a deal on immigration reform just as Title 42, a COVID-era policy limiting immigration, is due to expire Wednesday. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin.
42 needs to be extended until we can get a really, truly immigration reform.
Republicans warn the removal of immigration limits could cause a crisis at the border. A Texas congressman tells CBS's Face the Nation it is a dire situation. Republican Representative Tony Gonzalez.
It's a hurricane of migrants, and everyone is impacted.
And the committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol will also release its final report this week. Committee member Adam Schiff tells CNN's State of the Union that indictments are expected. Democratic Representative Adam Schiff.
I think that the evidence is there that Donald Trump committed criminal offenses in connection with his efforts to overturn the election. And viewing it as a former prosecutor, I think there's sufficient evidence to charge the president.
The U.S. Congress has just 5 working days left in the year. In January, a new Congress will be sworn in, with Republicans taking the majority in the U.S. House of Representatives. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you, Catherine. And Thailand's Navy says the military deployed warships and helicopters on Monday to try to locate 33 Marines missing after a corvette sank overnight in choppy waters in the Gulf of Thailand. Rachel Graham of Reuters reports.
Warships and helicopters scoured the choppy waters of the Gulf of Thailand on Monday in an effort to locate 33 Marines missing after a warship sank overnight. The Thai Navy deployed 3 of its vessels and 2 helicopters to find the missing off Prachuap Kiri Khan province, south of Bangkok. The corvette they were aboard, the HTMS Sukhothai warship, suffered an engine malfunction and went down just before midnight, about 20 nautical miles off the coast. An overnight rescue mission in bad weather secured 73 of the 106 people aboard, the Navy said, but the remaining 33 were forced to abandon ship. The Navy posted images on its Twitter account showing a group of personnel on an inflatable raft moving away from a ship in darkness as waves swirled around it. It was not immediately clear how many rafts had been deployed. The US-built Sukhothai has been in use since 1987. It was hit by strong waves on Sunday, forcing it to tilt to one side before becoming flooded with seawater, according to the Navy.
That's Rachel Graham of Reuters. North Korea's state media says the country conducted, quote, an important final phase, unquote, test on Sunday for the development of a spy satellite and seeks to complete it by April 2023. Diane To of Reuters reports.
North Korea says it conducted what it called an important final phase test on Sunday for the development of a spy satellite. That's according to state media KCNA on Monday, which also said the country aims to complete the satellite by April next year. This comes after South Korea and Japan said on Sunday that the North had fired 2 ballistic missiles off the Korean Peninsula's east coast. According to the KCNA newsreader, Pyongyang's National Aerospace Development Administration conducted the test at its Sohae satellite launching station in the northwest.
The administration said this is an important success that has gone through the final gateway process for the launch of a reconnaissance satellite.
KCNA also released 2 grayscale, low-resolution images of South Korea's capital Seoul and the nearby port city Incheon, saying they were taken during Sunday's launch. North Korea has conducted a record number of missile tests this year, including a high-thrust solid-fuel engine on Thursday, which experts said would make missile launches quicker and more mobile. It has tested satellite systems during several previous rocket launches, with leader Kim Jong-un saying the country's pursuit of a spy satellite is to provide real-time information on military actions by the United States and its allies.
That's Diane To of Reuters. In other news, the House January 6th committee is urging the Justice Department to bring criminal charges against former President Donald Trump and his allies. It is finishing its investigation of the violent 2021 Capitol insurrection with what lawmakers call, quote, a roadmap to justice, unquote. The panel's seven Democrats and two Republicans are recommending criminal charges against Trump and associates who helped him launch a multifaceted pressure campaign to try to overturn his 2020 election loss. The charges recommended by the committee are conspiracy to defraud the United States, obstruction of an official proceeding of Congress, conspiracy to make a false statement, and aiding an insurrection. This is VOA's International Edition. I am Chinedu Afo in Washington. A former senior public servant is the first woman to be appointed to lead Australia's foreign spy agency. Kerry Hartland will become the Director General of the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, or ACIS, in February. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Kerry Hartland has recently been overseeing the reform of the workplace culture in Australia's federal parliament, following a string of scandals and allegations of sexual assault. She is an experienced public servant and a former journalist. She's the first woman chosen to run Australia's foreign spy agency, known as ACIS. She doesn't have the traditional armed forces or foreign affairs background as her predecessors, but Hartland was the Deputy Director General of the Domestic Spy Agency, the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, between 2011 and 2017. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said in a statement earlier this month that she would bring excellent strategic, operational and people leadership skills to her new role. William Stoltz is the Policy Director at the National Security College at the Australian National University. He told VOA Monday that Hartland had been appointed to oversee fundamental change at ACIS.
The operational environment necessitates that the work of ACIS has to change. I mean, we've come off about 20 years of ACIS working quite closely with British SIS and the American CIA, with a predominant focus on counterterrorism and counterinsurgency operations in the Middle East.
Stoltz adds that Australia's foreign spy agency has shifted its attention to China.
We're very firmly shifted to an operating environment where ACIS's work needs to be much closer to home, focusing on preventing and understanding, I suppose, the great power competition that's happening between China and the United States. And so that means that it's a very different intelligence collection target set.
The Director General of the Australian Signals Directorate, another official intelligence agency, is also a woman. Rachel Noble is the first woman to hold that position and was appointed in 2020. Other women have been appointed to senior intelligence roles in other countries. Avril Haines was confirmed by the US Senate in 2021 as the first female national intelligence chief. Last year, Italy also appointed the first woman, a former ambassador, Elisabetta Belloni, to lead its security services. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Analysts warn the prospect of Prime Minister-elect Benjamin Netanyahu returning to power after his November election victory is raising questions over the future of Turkish-Israeli rapprochement, given the past tempestuous relations between Netanyahu and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Benjamin Netanyahu's election victory and appointment as Prime Minister-elect comes as Turkish-Israeli relations are warming. During Netanyahu's previous rule, he and Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan routinely exchanged insults. Dalia Lindenstrauss is an analyst at the Institute for Turkish National Security Studies, a research organisation in Tel Aviv.
Between these two leaders,
Yes, there were rhetorical battles with them, between them, especially after the previous normalization attempt in 2018 reached a crisis point. But both leaders are very pragmatic. They are both have been a long time in power now.
Erdogan was quick to call Netanyahu to congratulate him on his election victory in a conversation both sides said was cordial. Iran provides common ground, with both leaders sharing concerns over growing Iranian regional influence and Tehran's nuclear energy program. Mesut Çarşın is a presidential advisor at Istanbul's Yeditepe University.
There is a big the transformation between the Turkey and also the Israel relations. This is beneficial for two sides. The Israel has a big headache with the Iran and also especially Mr. Netanyahu, very suspicious Iranian nuclear weapons. And according to him, almost they ready to nuclear forces. Also, this is against the Turkish vital interest, because this is, will be collapse of the balance of power in the Middle East.
With Netanyahu relying on support of political parties that some analysts describe as having hardline policies towards the Palestinians, a potential flashpoint remains, given Erdogan's strong support for the Palestinians. But Ankara's priorities may have changed. Asla Aintashbash of the Brookings Institution in Washington.
In the past, traditionally, Palestinian issue had been a litmus test for the relationship between Turkey and Israel. But I think now times are different. Turkey feels it needs Israel's support, that it has developed a strategic relationship with Israel.
Erdogan's rapprochement with Israel is part of a broader policy of improving ties in the region. Analysts point out that many of those countries' leaders were uncomfortable with Erdogan's strong backing of the Palestinian cause. For now, Ankara's priorities appear to be focusing on cooperation with Israel from energy to defence. Mesut Çarşın is a presidential advisor at Istanbul's Yeditepe University.
Turkey is again, eager to establish military the cooperation together with Israel. I work with the Israel and in the military service. We make very good agreements with the Turkey and Israel.
Israeli and Turkish defence industries share the same markets. But any cooperation, analysts suggest, will likely be cautious given the turbulent past between the two leaders. Dorian Jones of VOA News, Istanbul.
This is Science in a Minute.
A rocket carrying the Surface Water and Ocean Topography spacecraft, or SWOT, lifted off from the Vandenberg Space Force base on December 16th. SWOT is a joint venture between NASA and France's National Center for Space Studies, with contributions from the Canadian Space Agency and the UK Space Agency. The spacecraft, which will reside in low Earth orbit, will observe nearly all of our planet's surface water for the next 3 years of its prime mission. According to a NASA press release, SWOT will scan 90% of the Earth's surface to measure the height of fresh water as well as ocean water. The space agency says data gathered by the spacecraft will provide scientists with insights such as how the ocean affects climate change and how communities can be better prepared for disasters such as floods. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hey there, it's Shauna Renee, also known as the Lady DJ, inviting you to join me every Thursday at 10 and 2200 UTC for today's Hit Countdown. Each week, I count down the top 20 songs in pop music according to Billboard and Rolling Stone magazines, but more importantly, according to you, the VOA listeners. Again, that's Thursdays at 10 and 2200 UTC right here on VOA 1.
Stay tuned every Wednesday and Friday at 9 p.m. UTC time with your pilot, Roger Moon, to listen to the RM Show, where you can respond to our question of the week, get some entertainment news, and enjoy some great music. It's all happening at VOA Africa. God bless. Peace, Africa.
Combs, Miranda Lambert, Chris Stapleton, then you'll enjoy Country Hits VOA. I don't just play the songs rocking the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. I'll tell you who's making news, and we'll hear from the artists themselves. Join me, Nikki Strong,
every Friday at 10 and 2200 UTC
for Country Hits VOA on VOA 1.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This has been International Edition on The Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thank you so much for listening. Visit our website for in-depth coverage of world events and news 24 hours at voanews.com and check out voaafrica.com for more English language programming. You can find International Edition on our current affairs programs and counter Press Conference USA and Issues in the News on voanews.com. Until next time, I am Chinodofa in Washington. Have a great day.
An editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In recent months, across the world, ordinary citizens have taken to the streets to peacefully protest government oppression, and many are paying a heavy price. On the eve of International Human Rights Day on December 10th, President Joe Biden shone a spotlight on the plight of such courageous protesters in the United States' own hemisphere. I once again call for the release of the hundreds of political prisoners in Cuba who remain in detention following the July 11, 2021 protests, he said in a statement. In the face of oppression, these protesters bravely exercise their fundamental freedoms, including the rights to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly. Tens of thousands of Cubans took to the streets that July day in unprecedented numbers, demonstrating against the government over the scarcity of medicine, fuel, and food, as well as the decades-long trampling of their human rights. Many chanted liberty and fatherland and life. Their cries and concerns were met with brutal, systematic violence and repression. As the U.S. State Department's most recent human rights report on Cuba states, security forces responded with tear gas and arrests. Thousands of people were arrested, including prominent human rights activists, artists, and religious leaders. Many of those arrested reported cruel and degrading treatment in prison, the State Department noted. The government conducted summary trials for some protesters, sought long prison sentences, some up to 30 years, in hundreds of cases, and held other protesters in extended pretrial detention. Some activists chose to go into exile, and the government forced others to do so. To date, hundreds of peaceful protesters arrested on July 11th and the weeks that followed remain in prison. Since the protests, the Biden-Harris administration has imposed sanctions on dozens of Cuban officials as well as on special forces complicit in the repression of the protesters and other dissidents. The United States stands with the Cuban people as they stand up for their human rights and a say in the future of Cuba, President Biden declared. We will continue to advocate for the release of all who were imprisoned in this brutal crackdown and continue holding accountable Cuban officials responsible for violence against peaceful protests.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.